You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, brains in Spain, staying mainly in the plane. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 248. And of course, I am your humble host, Karen, and we are your assembly people, assertively assisting in classifying assets associated with embarrassing gassy assonance.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Chris. Well, it's about that time again. A little segment that we like to call
Actually, what you said just wasn't true. Actually, do you mind if I correct you? Because actually, factually, and quite enthusiastically, I was right and you were wrong. That's exactly what inspired me to write this actually song. You were wrong.
Corrections, omissions, updates on things that we might have gotten wrong in the past.
And this would have been from previous season at least, right?
Yes, yes. In episode 243, not even that long ago, I had a quiz about relaxing things you do to wind down before bed. And we talked about Ovaltine and how a long time ago, Ovaltine was being marketed as a sleep aid. Like, drink Ovaltine and it'll help you relax and go to bed and sleep well. And so I dug up a vintage ad of Ovaltine. It had a funny, like, hey, look at all the benefits of Ovaltine and comparing the nutritional value. And it's so ridiculous. It's like, oh, 2 glasses of Ovaltine has more vitamin D than 10 ounces of butter, which is 2.5 sticks of butter.
Yeah.
Wasn't the comparison for vitamin C like more than like 2 sirloin steaks or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so on the show, I said it was more vitamin C than 1/4 pound of sirloin steak, 2 glasses of Ovaltine. However, this is my bad because on the ad, it actually says vitamin G.
Oh.
And in the script font, it looks like vitamin C. Also, like, these ads are like scammed, right?
Yeah.
2 glasses of Ovaltine has more vitamin G than sirloin steak. What is vitamin G?
And am I getting enough of it?
You know?
Like, now that I found out it exists.
We got A, we got a bunch of Bs, we got vitamin C for sure, a vitamin D. What is vitamin G? Vitamin G is riboflavin.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
It's just an old name for riboflavin.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Which is now B2.
Oh. Because, right, we pretty much stop at E these days, right? There's no vitamin F you don't really hear about too much, right?
Okay, so I'm glad you asked, because I looked this up. We have a vitamin G in the old days. Mm. What about F? What happened to F? When they were assigning vitamin names or vitamin letter names, F technically, as it turns out, is not a real vitamin. Whatever substance it is didn't really fit the now technical description of a vitamin. So now they axed it.
So the important thing is, if you're looking to get more riboflavin, don't eat a steak. Drink Ovaltine.
Two glasses
of Ovaltine is more vitamin G than 1/4. I'd rather eat 1/4 pound of steak.
Steak. I'd rather eat all of these comparison things. Oh, maybe not the butter. 10 ounces of butter is a lot.
Yeah, that's
it's
yeah,
like
that's
stick.
A lot.
Karen, that's over the course of a day. You know, it's like it's a bite here, a bite there. You're not eating the whole stick of butter all at once. Yeah. Come on.
Without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment. Pop quiz, hot shot. Guys, I got a Mongolian barbecue buffet of trivia pursuit cards here.
Oh, yeah.
So usually I will pick a random trivial pursuit card from a variety of editions. And then you guys have your barnyard buzzers and you buzz in to answer. Poison.
Let's go recent.
Ooh. All right. I'm fine with that.
I feel like oftentimes we're like half of the segment is correcting what the question should be, you know?
Yeah.
Here we go, Blue Wedge for geography. In which country is the ancient temple complex of Angkor Wat located? Colin.
Angkor Wat is in Cambodia?
Correct! It is Cambodia. Pink Wedge for pop culture. Which composer was the first person to score an EGOT by winning all four American Entertainment Awards? Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. And
we should really know this.
The first person to ever do it. Okay, ready? Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Earlier.
A little earlier than Andrew Lloyd Webber.
The golden age of classic movie musicals.
Sure, yeah, okay, okay. Classic golden age of movie musicals. Richard Rodgers?
It is Richard Rodgers. Good guess.
Okay, okay.
Rodgers was the first EGOT.
Yes.
Okay.
Of the writing duo Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yeah.
Sound of Music, King and I, all of the classics. And also, quick congrats. Today is what? We're in February 2023. Congrats to Viola Davis.
Yes.
New EGOT dropped, and it's Viola Davis from her Grammy win for her autobiography. All right. Yellow Wedge, which computer pioneer was fired from his job before returning to launch one of the first digital music players? Everybody.
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. Yeah. Purple Wedge, under what pen name does Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling write a series of detective novels?
Oh, God. Chris, what's please. Oh, my God. It's, okay, I got it. Robert Galbraith.
Yes! Yes! Wow. Good job, brain. Here we go, Green Wedge. What is the name of the digital currency established in 2009 with no central authority or middlemen? Wow, Colin.
Is it Botcoin? Is that what
it is? It's Dogecoin?
Yeah. The Dogecoin. Yeah.
I believe they're looking for Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which sister of an NBA Hall of Famer was a four-time All-American basketball player at USC and a member of the U.S. Olympic team in 1984? Colin.
That is Cheryl Miller.
Yes! Who is her sibling?
Someone you may have heard of named Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller.
Yeah. That was a strong basketball family. And I mean, he has often credited having to play against her as one of the reasons that he became as tough as he tried to be on the court.
Well, both of them. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? With like his siblings in the family that they can, they have someone to play the sport with. And that gives you quite an advantage. All right. Do you guys want to do another card?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Humor or pop culture?
Boomer.
Boomer.
Blue Wedge for TV. What talk show did John Lennon and Yoko Ono co-host for 5 days in 1972?
Oh, my gosh.
Chris.
I mean, I've got to say The Tonight Show.
Incorrect. No. Colin, for the steal?
I'm getting a strong, Dick Cavett vibe is going to be my guess.
It is the Mike Douglas show.
Oh, okay. The Mike Douglas show. Yeah. Yeah. That was big in the '70s. Yeah.
Pink Wedge. What color was the key Mark Hall wore around his neck in the Andromeda Strain?
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
this has been a long time.
I'm glad we're doing this to bring us down after that, the victory on the first card.
That's the book, right? The Michael Crichton book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's what...
Wow, this is a deep cut. All right, Chris.
Golden.
It is red.
Oh, wow.
It's red. Good. Yellow Wedge. What assassin used a pump-action scope sight Remington Game Master 30.06? I'm sorry if I'm not saying the format right.
It's so weird.
That is super weird.
Okay, Colin.
James Earl Ray.
Yes, James Earl Ray.
What a strange question. What a
bizarre question. What a real downer.
Brown Wedge for a publication. What high fashion magazine credited Ingrid Bergman with having a nose that was, quote, rather generous?
Yikes.
Wow, it was a different time. Chris.
Different. Yeah, this card was written in holy cow. How about Vogue?
Yes, it is Vogue.
All right.
Cringe. All right. Yeah. Green Wedge. I don't even know if I should continue. Okay. What dance, according to the New York Safety Council, was the largest cause of back problems in 1961?
What on earth? Oh my gosh.
The dance, New York Safety Council.
Yes.
Back and problems.
And that's like title case caps. New okay, York Safety Council. Colin.
Was it the twist?
It was the twist.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Wow.
RPM for records. What group's album, Green River, topped the scene in 1969? Colin.
I believe that was CCR, Creedence
Clearwater Revival.
All right.
Yeah.
Creedence Clearwater Revivals. Woo. We survived that card.
That was certainly a segment.
A lot of landmines. J.K. Rowling.
The assassination of MLK.
Yeah.
Body shaming.
We made it through that one.
Woo. Yep. As we're kind of cringing through some of those questions, you know, actually fits nicely. It wasn't by design. It was just a coincidence that this week our topic, our theme is about things that are embarrassing.
Mm.
So I'm curious to see what kind of trivia we're going to share this episode. So this week, stop it. You're embarrassing me. All right, so I want to share this random trivia fact, but it actually kind of fits well for this episode. Have you guys seen the movie Step Brothers, starring Will Ferrell and
John
C. Reilly?
John C. Reilly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I did. I think I gotta admit, I think I saw it like on an airplane or something, though, to be honest.
There's one embarrassing scene where, you know, they're kind of like loser dudes and they get bullied by children at the playground.
Yes.
Right, right.
They make Will Ferrell lick this dried white piece of dog poop, like in
right,
the park,
right.
Set to like classical music. And this led to something from our Good Job Brain Lobetrotters fan group on Facebook. Someone today, Anna, just shared a link. It was, why don't we see white dry dog poop anymore?
I saw that article too.
That is an interesting question.
When we were kids. Yeah.
That's what dog poop looked like.
Yes.
The little shriveled up. It looked like a giant like cigarette ash, you know.
Yeah. It's like brittle.
And so they phased that out?
So what happened? What happened to the dried white dog poop? It is because 70s, 80s, 90s, in dog food, they had really, really high calcium content. A lot of bone meal, a lot of calcium, and they started phasing that out. That was no longer a big nutritional requirement to be in commercial dog food. And that just tells you, when the poop is white, it's the dog trying to get rid of all the extra calcium.
Wow.
Yeah, that they're eating for no reason. They obviously don't need that much calcium in their diet. And this is what makes the poop white, brittle. It's
I wonder if like the dogs are like, do you guys notice like that? our poop's not white. It's like, I swear a few years ago it used to be. Yeah. They're looking at old photos in the dog yearbook, and they're like, "Wait, look at this!
What's their poop pictures in the dog yearbook?"
I don't know whose dog photos. Yeah, what's a dog? It's a dog album. It's the dog's album, Karen.
It's the extracurriculars, you know, section.
Yeah, it's the clubs.
Yeah, it's one of their hobbies. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Anna, for this amazing fact. No one asked for it, but we all appreciate it.
Well, I don't know where to take it from dog poop, but I will see if we can find a way forward here.
Here we go.
I have a grab bag quiz I have assembled for you, both in sort of classic Colin Good Job Brain style here. So with the all around the theme of embarrassment, cringe, shame, things that maybe we wish had not happened, I got a little bit here for you from World of Politics, a little bit celebrity, a little bit of some sports here. And in fact, why don't we start with the sports? Because as we record this episode, it is in fact the eve of the Super Bowl tomorrow. Let's do this as a write down quiz.
All right.
So here we go. Like I said, we'll start with the sports questions. Sports embarrassment, I think, is a special kind of embarrassment in sports. It comes in a lot of different flavors. You're playing a game. Losing a game is bad enough, but you're losing a game. It's often on live TV. It's also your job. It's like you have objectively failed at your job that day in front of thousands of people who organized their whole day around coming to see you play this game. There's a lot of pressure. Let's start with some team-based embarrassment, maybe. All right. Beginning in 1991, this East Coast team appeared in the Super Bowl 4 consecutive years and lost 4 consecutive times. What team is this? I have faith in you guys. I know it's in the punch bowl. All right, answers up. Karen says Buffalo Bills. Chris says Buffalo Bills. Good job. You guys both got it.
Points on the board. Chris.
It is.
Yes, we did it.
The Buffalo Bills.
I remember just being in middle school and the joke being that Bills stands for Boy, I Love Losing Super Bowls.
Oh, that's good. Wow. That's a Slumdog moment.
Yeah.
We'll move to individual embarrassment, let's say. In the NBA, that's basketball. Who holds the ignominious record for most free throws missed in a game?
Oh my god.
Without making a single one.
Uh-huh.
So who's got the biggest ofer basically in a game? Mm-hmm. Ofer how
never
many? Yeah, I mean this the whole game did not make a single free throw.
Okay, okay. Who's got in the record? One game. Okay. Mm-hmm,
that's right. You don't need to give me the number. Who's the person? Who is the person who holds this record? This record has stood for a while. It's a household name. This person is a household name.
For a while.
Yeah. A little over 20 years. This record, I'll give you guys the era. I'll help you out. This record was set in 2000.
Oh, my God.
All right. I'm going to need a name here when you're ready, Karen. All right. Took a bunch of free throws. Missed every single one. All right. Answers up. Chris says, Basketball Jones. A legendary figure, to be sure. Not the right answer. Karen says Kevin Garnett. No, you definitely got your eras right there. And neither of you, unfortunately, got this one. I thought this might be a little easier. At one point, this player was almost synonymous with poor free throw shooting. It is Shaquille O'Neal.
Really? Wow.
Oh, okay.
He had his ups and downs, but on the whole, a pretty remarkably bad free throw shooter. He went 0-for-11 from the free throw line as to say in a game in 2000. This was against at the time, hometown now, the Seattle Sonics, Karen. It wasn't your hometown then, and they don't exist in Seattle anymore. But yeah, so there have been people who have missed more free throws in a game outright, but they at least made one. So yeah, 0-for-11 has stood for quite a while. All right, let's move into politics here. All right. Now, again, this is one that might be in the punch bowl here, okay? Trivia sometimes is a game of retrieval as much as it is a game of knowledge. In 2009, then U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton presented the Russian foreign minister with a big red novelty button labeled in English, Reset. Uh-huh. This was to symbolize the reset in relations between the U.S. and Russia. Yeah. It was also supposed to say Reset in Russian on there, but it was mistranslated quite prominently.
No.
As what word instead?
Oh, jeez. Oh, my
what
gosh.
What did it say instead? Do you guys remember?
Yes. Remember the reset button? I remember that was not translated correctly.
Interesting. Okay. This is a guess. Yeah. I'm just trying to see, like, what other, like, if reset, the meaning of it.
Yeah.
I looked into exactly kind of how and why they got it wrong. Oh, okay. All right. Karen's answer is up. This was one, they made a big deal out of it at the time. Chris says, oops. Karen says, continue. Karen, that's actually, that's, I like your reasoning, Karen. Yeah, it's not. The word was, in fact, overload. was what the Russian word.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Overload or overcharge, you know, like in terms of like charging perhaps a little metaphorically. Yeah. As always, I apologize for the pronunciation. So in Russian, the word was перегрузка that they put on there, okay, thinking that that meant reset. That was the word for overload. The word they were looking for was перезагрузка. Very close, meant like reboot or like a re-download or kind of reset, like a hard reboot. Yeah, and Hillary just had to kind of just sort of smile there and sort of shucks her way through it.
Oh, man.
All right, this one, even more embarrassing. Here we go. All right. On a visit to Poland, this democratic president was comically mistranslated by his own translator, including saying he, quote, desired the Polish people carnally and was, quote, happy to grasp at their private parts.
When do we get an era for this?
Well, if I gave you the era, that might.
Democratic?
Democratic president. Right. Democratic president on a visit to Poland.
Oh, president. Okay.
Democratic president. Visit to Poland.
All right.
Okay.
The interpreter also said, you know, apparently Carter started his speech. He said, you know, I left the United States this morning. It was translated as I abandoned the United States. Chris has it as Jimmy Carter. Karen has it as Jimmy Carter. Correct. Point to each of you.
All right.
Let's get a little celebrity embarrassment here. And I have to say is I wanted to find something that was embarrassing, but not like life ruining scandal embarrassing. Yeah, It's hard.
It's a thin line. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
it is. Okay. In 2015, a paparazzi photo of actor Ben Affleck made the rounds on the internet, revealing that he had a giant, cringeworthy, hitherto unknown tattoo on his back of what?
Oh my gosh.
Huh. This is a good one. This is a good one.
Huh.
A giant tattoo. What? Like a Boston thing, maybe?
It was some kind of animal.
Oh, really?
Some
kind of animal. Okay.
It was, I think the thing that a lot of people kind of were taken back is like, wow, that's a full back tattoo practically. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And he got a lot of grief for this one at the time. All right, answers up.
Wow.
You both said tiger. No, it was in fact a very large phoenix on his back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just incredible. Super cringe and just like at
we're both
at
first, Karen and I are both yeah. Karen and I are both thinking that he's like in the Yakuza.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. At first, I guess he claimed it was for the movie that he was working on at the time. He's like, oh, it's like a temporary tattoo. It's for the role I'm doing in the movie.
Right.
But you know, like people, I guess, you know, he pretty quickly figured out like, oh, it wasn't shown in the movie. And then like other photos of him surfaced with this big back tattoo. He eventually, did have to sort of fess up and say, yes, it is a real tattoo. I didn't know that you all were going to see it, but it has meaning to me.
It's big. Majestic. It's majestic.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't going to look, but now I'm going to look.
Yeah.
Everybody else. Oh, my God!
It's sad. They call it his midlife crisis tattoo.
Oh, my
God. It was during, you know, a rough patch in his life.
It's so colorful.
It is. It's too colorful.
It is blinding. Yeah.
In 1989, this musician, known mainly as a drummer, sued to block the sale of his own album, claiming it was recorded while he was heavily drinking, and it would be a, quote, professional embarrassment if it were released. This person had made other albums before, made other albums since, but very specifically did not want this album released.
Wow. Known mainly as a drummer.
Okay. Mainly as a drummer. Yeah. Okay.
Had a career as a solo artist, also member of a band. Yeah. This person reported that he was drinking as many as 16 bottles of wine a day during this period. He had sobered up, did not want the album released. Karen says Phil Collins. Excellent guess. Chris, however, has the right answer, which is Ringo Starr.
I could tell once I thought of it, I was like, what drummer do I know? And then it has its own album. And then you were like, he had a solo career. He was also with a band. And I was like, oh, okay.
All trying right, to dangle all right. it. No, but Karen, yeah. excellent. Like, Phil Collins checks all those boxes, too. Yeah, yeah. And then like, right around that era.
Primarily as a drummer, though.
Well, that's really? True, I guess. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he definitely made a name a more yeah. as a singer.
I kind of, yeah. I think I mentioned this on the show. Like, I tried really hard to make a drummer and vocalist quiz.
Oh, it's tough.
And, like, I like thought of three people.
All right, so wait, so you got, all right, Phil wait, Collins, Ringo so Starr.
Ringo Starr.
And who
oh,
else?
Oh, sorry, four people now. Oh.
Including Ringo Starr. Four people now, we have Ringo Starr.
I mean, basically, that, there's not much more to the story than that. He was just, you know, in a period of heavy drinking and other substance use, and he had sobered up and realized, wow, this album sounds terrible in my judgment. I don't want it released.
So what happened?
He tried to work it out, basically. He tried to offer him... can I just pay you not to release this album? And the guy said, no, I want to release this album. It's a Ringo Starr album. And so he had to take him to court. The album is actually not that hard to find. I mean, there's a bootleg released of several of the tracks on there. It's if you look for like the Memphis album, or it's sometimes called the Memphis Sessions. So if you're a Ringo Starr completist, yeah, you'll have probably a copy of this bootleg in your collection somewhere. But yeah, he
is
definitely
it, is it that terrible? Or
he felt it sounded terrible. He also did not do a lot of drumming, you know, maybe ironically on the album. Yeah, he was embarrassed by it. He said he just, you know, did not want it released.
Hey, yeah. That's hey, okay.
Yeah. All right. Last question. Here we go. We love good advertising, especially good slogans here. What product introduced in 1931 was advertised with the tagline, "It gives forth noises that can be better imagined than described"? It's a great line. It's a great line.
Can you repeat the line again?
I will. And keep in mind what's the theme of the quiz here. All right. In 1931, this product was advertised in catalog with the line, "It gives forth noises that can be better imagined than described."
Ha! I'm confident.
Okay. I like it. I love confidence. All right. Karen has written whoopee cushion. Chris has written whoopee cushion. You both have it. It is indeed the whoopee cushion. 1931 on the market. Karen, yes, you have a question.
Quick question. Yes. Mm. I spelled it like whoopee pie, P-I-E, and then Chris has P-E-E. Is it I-E or E-E?
I'm so glad you asked. Colloquially, they are both acceptable, although the product name is with E-E. The official Wikipedia entry on whoopee cushion is Wikipedia voice. "A whoopee cushion is a practical joke device involving flatulence humor, which produces a noise resembling human flatulence. It has also been referred to as a farting bag, pudding cushion, windy blaster, and raspberry cushion." I have never called it any of those things.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. No. I mean, just to be clear, the concept of an inflatable device that someone sits on and makes a fart sound is, in fact, many, many, many hundreds of years old. They're like animal bladders, you know, there are many tales of, people love fart jokes, right? But so the official whoopee cushion, it was invented in 1930 by the Gem Rubber Company of Toronto. Good, proud Canadian invention. They knew they had a hit on their hands. So they're like, all right, let's take this. Let's take this to the largest novelty, you know, kind of joke puzzle producer at the time and see if they'll sell it. That was the SS Adams Company. They took it. They said, we've got, called the whoopee cushion. You sit on it, makes a fart sound. What do you think? And the owner of the company, Samuel Sorensen Adams, said, "No, I don't want to sell that." he said he called it indelicate. He thought it was too rude, so he passed. So the Gem Rubber salespeople, they're like, "No, we believe in it." So they ended up going to, you guys could probably guess, the Johnson Smith catalog. And that was basically who turned the whoopee cushion into, you know, the success that it became. Seeing the success of the whoopee cushion, SS Adams Company is like, we missed on this one. And they introduced the competitor, the raspberry cushion.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. All right. Well, good job. A little bit of embarrassment from all corners of the world. You guys did well.
So I've shared a lot of embarrassing moments in my life on the show, 11 years on the show. I've done a lot of embarrassing things on air even, but I'm going to take this moment and share with you like the most vivid memory I have around a truly personal embarrassing moment. So let me set the stage. I was in sixth grade. It was 1994. It was like social studies history class. And we had to do a group presentation on a project. So I have to stress that there are three other people on my team. They were like super cool. Not popular cool. They're like cool, cool. Aloof rebel cool. So like a part of me felt like I was cool by association. It's our turn to go up. In front of the class to give this group presentation. I thought it was so cool. I was wearing my like Stussy t-shirt. I was wearing my Janko skater jeans. I had like a flannel, LL Bean flannel, like wrapped around my waist, peak 90s. I was like, oh man. It's also important to note that I was getting over a cold, a pretty bad cold. So my face and my head was completely congested. Congested with mucus. Let me just be a little bit more descriptive. And so it was my turn to talk. And like, sure, I sounded like nasally than I was. And that's okay. Whatever. Like people get sick all the time. But I was in the middle of a sentence and I had to sneeze. And I didn't have enough time to like cover my face.
Oh, no.
And so my sneeze came out. The air that came out of my nose created and inflated this giant comical snot bubble out of one of my nostrils. It was like the size of a large grapefruit, like, you know, like blowing bubble gum. Yeah. It's not like a dangling snot. It is an inflated orb in front of my whole class of adolescents. You know, we were like, what, 12, 13? Now, so the worst part isn't the fact that there's an inflated snot balloon in front of my face. It was that this yellow snot balloon had to pop, right? It had to go somewhere. So it popped and now it's all over my face. It's like splashed on my clothes. And like, I had to like quickly improvise and I had to untie my cool flannel shirt and I had to wipe my face in front of everybody. And I ran out of the classroom. And like, this is where my memory blacked out. Like,
you just dissociated.
Yes, I think I remember there was roaring laughter, but there was also like, oh, you know, like shock. So the reason why I'm telling this story is because sometimes when I'm least expecting it, if I'm walking the dog or I'm eating cereal, this memory will pop into my mind out of nowhere, unprompted, unrelated to anything I'm thinking, doing, saying, and it's like a surprise. And not only will I think about reliving this memory, I will start feeling all the feelings I felt when I was 12. This phenomenon, and I'm sure, I mean, this probably happens to you guys too. Maybe it's like a awkward like conversation you're reliving or something.
Yep.
This phenomenon is very normal. Everyone experiences this, and it's called an involuntary memory.
Okay.
You go about your day, and boom, like cringe memory from the past haunts you, and you start feeling the same feelings. So your brain retains the information about this memory, what I was wearing, who, you know, what was I doing? What was I talking about? All of this information, but it also retains all the emotions that you felt back then as well. Author Melissa Dahl, who wrote an entire book called Cringeworthy, she calls the involuntary memory a cringe attack.
That's a good name for it.
Yeah, a cringe attack. I sometimes can feel it starting, and I'm telling my brain, like, no, don't think about it, don't think about it, like trying to deny it. Another explanation of why this might happen is because it may be your emotions are so strong that your emotions may dictate what your brain decides to hang on to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So the stronger the feeling, the more visceral and, you know, the memory is in your head. For your brain senses a strong wave of emotions. It was like, holy crap, what was that? We gotta document and record this.
Right, right, right.
If this happens to you, you're certainly not alone. Very common phenomenon. Best ways to deal with it is just to ride the wave, man. Just let it happen. Mm-hmm. Some say like the embarrassing feelings lessen over time because you become like more accepting of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Like I definitely for moments that I retrieve of like extreme embarrassment or for things that were extremely embarrassing at the time. It's funny, like I, as you say, I do have very clear memory of the details around me.
Yeah.
Like I'll share, Karen. You're always so brave sharing these stories, which I appreciate. I'll share one too. I think I was in seventh grade, and it was like gym class. And it was one of those gym classes where, for some reason, it was like an assembly. I don't know. Like we were all together in the gym. Maybe it was a rainy day. We were all sitting on the floor, and I farted. And it was like, it was one of those where I was like, ah, no one's going to hear this. And it was like, I was sitting on the wood floor in the gym. Even at the time, I was like, wow, that's pretty loud. And it was like, and then I look around and of course, like everybody heard it. And it was like, it was very clear it was me. And like people started laughing and then teacher's like, ah, I settled down. But like, I remember what I was wearing. I remember what the gym looked like. I can just picture like
sequence of events. The, yeah.
Yeah. Just in very clear detail, like the couple minutes before, the couple minutes after, the rest of that day, total blur. But yeah, those moments, it was just ingrained. I'm less and less embarrassed about it each time I think about it over the years.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles, smart trivia. Good Job Brain.
This week on Good Job Brain, we're sharing trivia and facts about being embarrassed.
If you've been listening to Good Job Brain for a while, you know I've done a lot of quizzes about awards shows like the Oscars and the Grammys and Emmys and stuff like that. First of all, they tend to just sort of generate a lot of trivia.
For sure.
They tend to come up a lot. And they also, you know, they tend to generate a lot of cringy, awkward moments for other people, not me. They're unscripted. You know, people are probably drinking, you know, they're live. You never know what could go wrong. So, you know, I was thinking about this actually recently because the Grammy Awards just took place. The Grammy Awards, they had the first ever Grammy Award that was specifically the category for video game music.
Oh.
And so a lot of people were paying attention to that. And it went to the game Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Hmm. And the presenter award, a comedian named Randy Rainbow. Yes, it became a sort of a viral Twitter moment because the video of him, he presenting the award, he opened up the card and he clearly was just, you can see him looking at the name and it's just not registering for him at all as three words that even, like, how those words even go together. I mean, it says something about video games still have a little ways to go, you know what I mean, before you can truly call them mainstream cultural. But you can see in his eyes just the deer in the headlights look, And he knows he has to go. So it's Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And he opens the card and he's like, the winner is Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So, but also, I mean, it's just funny that he thought the name of the game was Assassin's colon Creed Valhalla, like somebody's name, you know, like it's not even, but anyway, I mean, so I'm sorry. Here's 10, additional, famously awkward, embarrassing moments that took place, you know, in full view of the entire world live at televised award show. And again, if you feel embarrassed for any of these people, if you feel embarrassed for Randy Rainbow, just remember these people all have buttloads of money.
They're fine. That's true.
Whenever they have those cringe eruptions, you know, just think about all their cash. So here we go. Get your barnyard buzzers ready. It's a 10 question quiz of your trivial knowledge about embarrassing moments. Here we go. Question one, at the 2009 MTV Video Music Awards, one Kanye West famously interrupted Taylor Swift's acceptance speech to proclaim that, in fact, Beyoncé's Single Ladies was one of the best videos of all time. But what was the Taylor Swift video that actually won that award?
What year?
2009. Starting off with what turns out to be a tough one. And, you know, Kanye.
Wow, this is hard.
Maybe Kanye went about it the wrong way, but maybe his heart was in the right place. Because everybody remembers Single Ladies. But
nobody remembers
the Taylor Swift video was that actually won the award. I'm going to tell you. The title of the song is You Belong With Me. You Belong With Me was the Taylor Swift song. Man.
Wow.
Video.
Not one in my punch bowl.
Best female video. Yes, in 2009. Yet not Single Ladies. All right. Question number two. At the 2013 Oscars, this actress was accepting the award for Best Actress when she famously tripped going up the stairs. Karen.
Jennifer Lawrence.
It was Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence tripped up the stairs going to accept her award. Or, I mean, you know.
But so relatable. Yeah.
You know, we can blame lag, you know, whatever you want to blame it on, I guess. funnily enough, at the 2014 Oscars, the next year, Jennifer Lawrence tripped again. This time on the red carpet, took a big red carpet spill. But fortunately for her, this was erased by the real most embarrassing moment of the 2014 Oscars, and that was when John Travolta, introducing a performance of the song Let It Go, introduced singer Idina Menzel by this name.
What was it?
Colin?
That was Adele Dazeem.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Adele Dazeem. Right. That's right. Wow, has it been that long already? Wow.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Man. Yeah, it's almost, it's been 9 years since that happened. We'll move on to question number four. Let's go back to the 1984 Oscars, where they were performing one of the nominated songs, the theme from Ghostbusters. This turned out to be an incredibly embarrassing performance, a bizarre spectacle with dancers in blue satin Ghostbuster outfits, other dancers shrieking on stage wearing ghost outfits. And meanwhile, the whole time, this singer was awkwardly suspended above the stage in the cab of a forklift. Karen.
Ray Parker Jr.?
Ray Parker Jr. No, go for it. Go for it. Yeah.
I do not remember this.
Ghostbusters Oscars. Ray Parker Jr. They got a fort. It's like a New York City sort of staging, but there's dancers in ridiculous costumes. The Ghostbusters, the dancers representing the Ghostbusters have like machine guns that like silver painted assault rifle toys that they're running around in.
Wow.
There's weird, you know, flowy like humanoid ghost costume dancers, and then Ray Parker is in a forklift that's been raised like up, and he's singing you know, the Ghostbusters song, while seated, kind of awkwardly turned around in the forklift.
But he won. He won Best Original Song that
year. I was just going to ask.
It was all worth it.
It was worth it. Took home that Oscar. But probably nothing as far as embarrassing moments can top the 2017 Oscars. And that was the Oscars at the end of which the Best Picture winner was originally announced to be La La Land. But it turned out in the middle of that celebration that the Best Picture winner was, in fact, this film directed by Barry Jenkins. Karen.
Moonlight.
It is Moonlight.
Moonlight.
And who were the presenters who made the flub? It was Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
Oh my gosh. So the wacky mix-up at the end of the 2017 Oscars when the wrong winner was announced was so awkward that at least it distracted people from the thing that happened all throughout the night earlier, which is the fact that this veteran actress was seen clapping in an extremely weird way all night. And she later said it was to avoid damaging the rings that she was wearing, which were not hers.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, gosh.
Yep,
oh,
Karen's doing right. it. Karen's that's doing right. it. Who was
Who
doing
was
the clap?
This? Was it?
Imagine clapping with your palms in such a way that your fingers never touch because they're bent so far back. And she's she was doing this all night. People were like,
it's a Hercules, Hercules,
Hercules. Hercules.
Yeah. Why
was it Jane Fonda?
It was not Jane Fonda.
Okay.
No, but it was wow. somebody big. It was somebody big.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Man. Yep. I'm going to be so angry when you say this answer. Who was
and
it?
And she has wonderful, like, very long fingers as well. So when you go back and you look at it, they're just massive in the way that they sort of arch away from her hands. It was Nicole Kidman.
Nicole
Kidman's weird clapping was... a whole thing for a couple of days there. Here's something that's maybe a little less funny. At the 2013 MTV Movie Awards, this actress ended up getting herself kicked out of the 2013 MTV Movie Awards after she got up on stage and attempted to yank the statuette out of Will Ferrell's hands during his acceptance
what?
Speech for the Comedic Genius Award. This actress had also written across her chest at the time, # the to-do list, if that gives you any hint as to who that might be. Karen.
Is it Aubrey Plaza?
It was Aubrey Plaza.
Yes. Good job. That was her movie.
Who was starring the in the film that wow. year, the to-do list.
Wow.
Apparently she had one too many and decided to do something that maybe she thought was going to be funny. Like, she
yeah.
get up on stage and try to take the award from Will Ferrell, but, like, she didn't really go anywhere with it, and he was very confused. And
there's that moment where you're like, is a bit, or, oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know where we're going with this. Yeah. You know, again, it's hard to say whether some of these things are embarrassing or whether the person owns them so much that they're, you know, they're not embarrassed. In fact, they're proud of themselves. But I will say that at the 2008 MTV Latin America Awards, okay, the 2008 okay. MTV Latin America Awards, singer Katy Perry dove into a giant cake and then became so covered in icing that she was unable to stand and eventually ended up having to crawl off the stage after her performance of this song, her debut single.
Her debut single.
Yes. Again, very roundabout way of simply asking what was Katy Perry's debut single. Karen.
I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It.
I Kissed a Girl.
Oh, right,
girl.
Right. Yep. I'm going to have to dig this up. I'm going to have to watch this.
With like her guitarist tried to help her up, but she just kept comedically banana peeling onto the floor and finally crawled away. Yeah.
This type of fail is, I don't know. I can't explain it, but it makes me crack up. So like watching yes. like, or like people
falling.
Trying to like mascots, like on ice or something
ice,
like that.
Ice.
Yeah. Like I just I could watch it for an hour. Yeah.
I don't think she quite knew because how would you know what the interaction
yeah. And it's like stage frosting, you know, it's probably not like actual edible frosting. It's like probably made out of like glycerin and it's like super slippery.
Yes. Stage yeah. frosting. I don't
stage
know why that's
frosting.
So
stage
funny.
Frosting.
To me.
They should have used stage yeah. frosting. Yeah, exactly. Two more. Question 9. The The host, he wishes he could blame this one on stage frosting. This host of the Miss Universe pageant in 2015 famously just read the card wrong and called out the winner.
I love this.
Colin.
Was this Steve Harvey?
Steve Harvey.
It was Colombia and the Philippines.
Yes.
Who was the winner?
I believe it was Miss Philippines was the
actual. And he said Colombia.
Colombia. And the card said Philippines. Like, this was not it wasn't like Oscars.
Poorly laid out card. Okay, all right.
Yeah. And here's your final question, everybody, after this parade of award show embarrassment. This is pretty bad. When this actress won, it was probably bad for her. Like, when this actress won, she won the Golden Globe in 2000 for her leading role in the film Nurse Betty. She was in the bathroom, leaving presenter Hugh Grant on stage, flustered and not knowing what to do. Oh, boy. Karen.
How funny that was Hugh Grant who was presenting, because they're after Jones and Zachary together. Renee Zellweger,
yes. Won the Golden Globe for her role, for her, you know, best actress in the film Nurse Betty. She emerged. They were looking for her. Hugh Grant almost accepted the award on her behalf, but then she came out of the bathroom about a minute and took the stage telling everybody that she had gone to clean lipstick off of her teeth.
Not pee.
And not pee. But managed to miss her own Golden Globe win.
Doja Cat just did that for Grammys. She knew the award was coming up, but she had to go pee.
There were so many things putting this quiz together that I was looking at. Like, I was like, okay, give me, you know, lists of famous, you know, awkward Oscar moments, famous awkward Grammy moments, stuff like that, you know, embarrassing moments or, you know, flubs or whatever. And there's so many things which is just like someone doing something extremely inappropriate, you know, that's not even oops, this embarrassing thing happened, and more like somebody like gets up on stage and does something racist, you know, and it's like, that's not really in the spirit of what we're talking about here.
That's just
bad life decisions. Yeah.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, last segment. We keep saying this word this episode. Cringe. Such a great word. There's such a physical representation. Like, you're folding and you're shriveling yourself into, like, non-existence because you're so embarrassed or you feel so embarrassed for someone else, right? There is something kind of beautiful, kind of nice about the feeling of cringe, because here is a quote from psychology professor Roland Miller, who said, "It's the ability to feel vicarious embarrassment influenced by our ability to empathize with others." So sure, sometimes you're cringing out of disgust, but it also can be like compassionate, understanding how awful that feeling could be that someone else is going through.
Totally.
Right. So writers have completely harnessed that fascination with cringe, and it has found its way into our TV shows, specifically our TV comedies. And this whole genre is called cringe comedy. Mm. Like, the humor is in the awkward, like feeling that awkward situation. The main characters are mostly kind of out of touch. They're mostly self-absorbed people going about their day, breaking what they say, like, social boundaries or social norms, like normal behavior. And probably the two most famous, I would say, delivery people of cringe comedy are Larry David.
Yep.
And across the pond, Ricky Gervais.
Yep.
So here I have a quiz about signature Hallmark cringe comedies.
All right.
This will be a write down quiz. Mm. So get your pens and paper ready. I, for one, cannot stomach awkward comedy. I can't do it. It's not my thing. But here we go. Question number one. Comedian and actor Sacha Baron Cohen got his big break in the year 2000 in the UK satire news program The Ali G Show, where he interviewed unsuspecting prominent figures and celebrities, playing as the, I would say, clueless, young street poser kind of guy, Ali G. And also, what two other characters? Yes, before he became a household name, Sacha Baron Cohen and his characters debuted on his own show in the UK. All right, answers up, please. Chris says Borat and Bruno. Colin says Borat and Bruno. Correct. And those became feature films.
They did.
One had a sequel. Mm. Yeah. Number two, The Office. We talked about The Office. The Office. Big mockumentary cringe hit for NBC based on Ricky Gervais's UK show on BBC. Both versions of The Office managed to capture the quirkiness and awkwardness of office life, and both helmed by cringe bosses. So tell me, what are the names of both the US boss character and the UK boss character? One played famously by Steve Carell, and the other played by Ricky Gervais. There's one moment in that show where they actually did cross paths very quickly at an elevator.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Okay. All right. Answers up. Chris put Michael Scott. Colin put Michael Scott and David Brent. Correct.
Oh.
Number three, speaking of Ricky Gervais, he has created, directed, and acted in several of his own creations, all based on capturing cringe. Other than The Office, he has done the show Extras. He made Idiot Abroad, and also a mockumentary show called Life's Too Short, starring what British actor that serves as the inspiration of the show's title?
Oh.
This British actor plays himself. And it's his day-to-day life as an actor in the entertainment industry. Life's Too Short, starring what British actor that serves as the inspiration of the show's title?
I think I know this. We shall
All
see.
Right.
I don't really have anything.
Answers up. Chris Scott, nothing. Colin. Nothing. Warwick Davis. Colin, you are correct.
Oh, wow.
The show star is Warwick Davis of Willow fame, of Star Wars fame, of Harry Potter fame.
And I believe that Warwick Davis started, or I don't know if he still runs it, a casting agency or basically a representation agency for actors who are little people.
Yeah. And his daughter is in the new Willow show. His own daughter plays his daughter. All right. Number four, Julia Louis-Dreyfus stars in HBO's political cringe comedy Veep, playing the likably unlikable character of Vice President Selina Meyer. Julia Louis-Dreyfus has won the TV award, Emmy Award, for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series 7 times. Besides Veep, what other shows has she won the award for? Two other shows besides Veep.
Oh, what? Lead actress in a
comedy.
Lead actress in a comedy series. Oh, what's the other show like she
one
did?
Of, one of these. One of these is a deep cut, and I got a good guess.
And it was
answers up. Chris, Colin both put Seinfeld. Colin,
oh my gosh,
The New Adventures of Old Christine. Correct.
Oh my wow, yeah. Colin really knows his cringe comedy.
I that one was locked in my memory banks at one point. I love her. She is absolutely one of my favorite actors. She's great.
Here we go. Question number five. A little bit more recent, a little bit more edgy. The show I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson has become a cult Netflix hit and a source of a lot of memes and GIFs.
Yeah.
Starring Tim Robinson, who before this got his break writing and acting in what landmark comedy show for 2 years? A bit more recent, I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson has become a cult Netflix hit and a source of a lot of internet memes. Stars Tim Robinson, of course, who before this got his break writing and acting in what show? Landmark comedy series for 2 years.
writing and acting in.
Answers up.
Oh, I don't know. I have nothing.
Colin put SNL correct. Oh, he was okay. In Saturday Night Live. Okay, last question. Amazon Prime has also scored their own cringe hit with what show that was originally a one-woman play of the same name? Amazon Prime has also scored their own cringe hit with what show that was originally and then adapted from a one-woman play of the same name? Yeah, what do I have? I just want to make sure. Yeah, I got Ali G Show, which was UK. We got BBC, NBC, mm-hmm. HBO, Netflix. All right.
You're spreading the love around.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. Answers up, please.
You got me. This is wow. The worst for me.
Colin is correct with Fleabag. Wow. Fleabag. Phoebe
Waller-Bridge.
She's going to be the new Indiana Jones movie.
I heard that. Yeah. She's got writing credits. She wrote the last James Bond, right? Or co-wrote it?
Whoa, that's cool. Well, good job, everybody. And that is our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned stuff about embarrassing award show moments, embarrassing sports moments, cringe attacks, and more. You can find us on Apple Pod. Oh, and also a white dog poop. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on all podcast apps and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like Tumble, the science podcast for kids, Pulse of the Planet, and Redacted History. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.